Anyway, as I said, so what do we have? We have 20 minutes left? Okay, so let's get moving here. So we're going to talk about how to dress for davening and what's halacha, what's minhag, what's justam, yeshivish thing, to what extent the person, especially in the summertime, it's difficult because in the summertime, like all day, you're in shorts and a baseball cap and sitters over the shirt, like chassidim, you know, it's very, very nice. What's actually required of us as far as tefillah is concerned and the way that we dress for tefillah. But again, any topics that you want to talk about or that you want me to talk about, you can request. I'll tell you if I am prepared to talk about those topics or not. But for today, and probably for tomorrow also, we'll discuss dress for davening. So the idea that you have to dress nicely for davening probably comes from it comes from several sources. But the fundamental idea is that when you daven, the entire mood, the entire atmosphere, the entire attitude has to be ki'ilu hu omid lefnei hamelech, that you're viewing yourself as if you're standing in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam. In fact, in a very famous Reb Chaim, of all the Reb Chaims, you know, that exist, probably the most famous passage in Reb Chaim is that Reb Chaim where he talks about the din of kavana for tefillah, and he says that the idea that one should see himself as if you're standing in front of a king, that's not kavana for tefillah, that's the definition of tefillah. Kavanah for tefillah is to think about what the words mean, what you're saying, what you're asking for, what you're saying about the Ribbono Shel Olam. But when you just think about the fact that you're saying in front of Hashem, that is the definition of tefillah. If you don't even realize that you're saying in front of Hashem, then you're just not davening. Meaning, if you're just saying the words, you're just reading Hebrew, but that's not davening. Davening is that you realize that you're omid lefnei hamelech. So that's certainly true when it comes to a mindset, but the idea of ki'ilu amid v'melech probably also reflects the way that a person is reflects on the way that a person is supposed to dress for davening as well, for the levush of tefillah. So let's get into the sources that discuss how one is supposed to dress for davening. The Gemara in Brachos tells us that Rabbi Yehuda was mekashet atzmo bebegadim na'im umispalim. He would dress up in nice clothing, and then he would daven after he was dressed in nice clothing, because it says, Hishtachvu l'Hashem b'hadras kodesh. Hadar is beautiful, hadras kodesh, with this beautiful kedusha, that he would approach the Ribbono Shel Olam. So there should be a certain sense of covet, a certain sense. You go to a wedding, you don't wear shorts and a t-shirt, right? You go to a wedding, you dress nicely. So you go in front of the Ribbono Shel Olam, you're going to dress nicely. So that's what the Gemara says in Brachos. The Gemara in Shabbos gives a little bit of a more nuanced type of view. First of all, what's the problem with that? If we just take that at face value. So, meaning, when you go to greet a king, how would you dress? If you're going to greet, you're going to the White House, you're going to meet the president, how would you dress?
A suit and tie.
A suit and tie, right? It happened to be at the G6, G8, what do they call it? The summit that they're having now, right, with all the heads of state. There's a picture I saw of all the heads of state, white shirt, suits, no ties. They were all in Shabbos afternoon mincha mode, right? They were all no ties. So maybe that's going to change the way that one is omid lefnei hamelech. But if that's really the requirement, that you're omid lefnei hamelech, that you really have to dress the way you're omid lefnei hamelech, that would mean whatever activity ends and it's time for mincha, what time is the teens daven mincha? All the zmanim are way off here, right? You probably daven mincha at like midnight or something, right? So there's no zmanim in Camp King. Rabbi David Willick told me that he offered Moshe Bazil 100 on his report card if he can get Camp Kaylee teens to daven bizman, but he lost. But whatever, what time you daven mincha, for real?
2:30.
Okay, so 2:30 mincha comes right after lunch, I guess?
Yeah.
Right, so right after lunch. So you're coming from lunch, and lunch comes right after an activity or whatever. So really, you have to go back, change into your Shabbos clothes, get a nice white starched shirt, make sure it looks perfect, like you're ready to go to a wedding, and then come to mincha? I mean, that just on its surface, it doesn't seem very practical. Coming from a melech, in the literal sense, would mean that you really get dressed up. And that's hard to imagine, that a person has to really get dressed up, like to the nines, like really get dressed up the way you would to go to a wedding, or the way you would to actually go to the White House. You know, that seems difficult to... So there's got to be some way to parse that out. There's got to be some way to modify that in some sense. So the Gemara in Shabbos gives a little bit of a more nuanced view, but the Gemara in Shabbos doesn't talk about this problem that we just raised. The Gemara in Shabbos tells us that there are actually three different hanhagos that Amoraim had when they they would come to daven. Rava bar Rav Huna, Rami Puzmaki Umatzli. He would put on these very nice socks, like Hasidim with the nice long white socks. Right? He would put on these nice long white socks to daven. Amar Hikal Nikros. Maybe that's where the white socks comes from. Hasidim. Do all Hasidim do the white socks? Everyone has their own like levush. Someone told me that when I was away for Shabbos in North Woodmere. Your father told me that when I was away for Shabbos in North Woodmere, that I was in Tinek for a Shabbos or something, and two Hasidim with the whole levush, with the strimels and the big white socks, showed up to the shul, and you know, which is not the usual for my shul, and they came and they said, "Das is a heimish shiel." So the guys were like, so if you have those whites, where does that come from? So it could be that it comes from this Gemara, that he would put on these special socks, these special foot gear, and Amar Hikol Nikros, that a person is supposed to, you know, get ready, put something on special in order for davening. Rava, a second Hanaga, Rava Shadi Glime, he would throw off Shadi Glime, he'd take off his beged chashuv. He would have like a frock or a nice chashuv beged, and he'd take it off. Upachar yadei, and he would fold his hands into each other. Umatzli, and he would daven in that way. Amar ka'avda kamimari. He said, "Dafka to dress down for davening, because I'm like an eved in front of his master. Who do I think I am? That I'm going to come in this kavadika garment as if like I'm this special person? No, I'm like an eved in front of a master." It occurred to me recently at a wedding that the waiters all wear tuxedos. Right, meaning sometimes they do dress up more than the, you know, even though they're just the help staff. Sometimes they, so I guess the custom used to be that the waiters would wear like rags, and that you know, the people who were not that a waiter is an eved, but I mean he's doing an avdus, he's doing a service. So I guess it used to be that someone who was doing avdus would dress down. So Rabba would actually dress down for tefillah, which would mean that it would turn out perhaps that being in your shorts and t-shirt and backwards baseball cap and sits over the shirt would be the ideal dress for tefillah. And then the Gemara says, "Amar Rav Ashi chazina leil Rav Kahana ki ikat sara b'yama Rav Kahana did with a little nuance. It depended on what was going on in the world. When there was tsar in the world, when it was an tsar, shadi glime upachar yadei umatzli. He would do the eved thing. He would take off his frock and he would just dress like an eved. Amar kav the kamimari, because when there's tsar in the world, then we're just like a bunch of avadim. Ki ika shalma, but when there was good times in the world and there was peace and nice things, lovish umeschasi umesate fumatzli. Then he would get dressed up nicely. Then he would put on nice clothing. Amar hikal nikros elokecha Yisrael. So you see that there are these three different levels. In fact, in the Ein Eliyahu, on the Ein Yaakov, he writes, I think it's Kanzer in Ein Yaakov. In the Ein Eliyahu, he writes that these three correspond to three shitos in Maseches Brachos about an attitude a person is supposed to have when they daven. That there's one line in Brachos where it says, "Ein omdim l'spal el mitoch kovid rosh," that a person should daven with a sense of kovid rosh, like you're. It's very serious, and you feel like a little dejected, and you feel like you're at the mercy of the Ribbono Shel Olam. So that's like an eved, right? Kovid Rosh would correspond to the eved. Then there's a braisa in Brachos that says, "In omdim l'spala lo mitoch din, lo mitoch halacha, lo mitoch halacha psuka." That when you daven, you shouldn't be involved in too many complicated sugyas. Your brain shouldn't be all over the place. It should be mitoch halacha psuka, that you just learn something like very clear, very obvious, very easy, and so that your mind is not distracted. Just halacha psuka. So he says that would correspond to, it all depends on the situation, that how you dress depends on the situation that you're in. So if you're able to put yourself in the right mindset, because it's a time of peace, so then dress nicely. If you're not able to put yourself in the right mindset because it's a time of great tsar, then you dress like an eved. And then there's another braisa, "Ein omdim l'spal lo mitoch atzos, lo mitoch atzos, el mitoch simcha shel mitzvah," that a person should always daven with a sense of simcha. That would correspond to the daya that what? You wear nice socks, you wear nice clothing for tefillah, because it's always mitoch simcha that you're coming in like you're going to a wedding. So those are the three approaches that appear in the Gemara. So the question is, how do we paskin? Right? Do we actually adjust our outfit based on what's going on in the world? And if we don't, which approach do we take? Do we take the dress down approach or the dress up approach? So the Rambam in the fifth paragraph of the Tefillah writes, we take the dress up approach, that a person is supposed to be mesakin malbushav. He's supposed to dress nicely. He's supposed to be bahadras kodesh, not with rosh megula, not with raglayim megulos. Raglayim megulos means not with shorts, not with an uncovered head. What does that mean, not with an uncovered head? So we have to see, does that mean not without a yarmulke? Does it mean not without a hat? Right? What is it? What, how do we define an uncovered head? So maybe we'll discuss that at some point. Shulchan Aruch gives a few more details. Shulchan Aruch says that ro'i shi'ilo malbushim noim yuchad mutfila. You should have really nice clothing. Kigon big day kohuna. Try that. Right? Coming on the big day kohuna for davening every time. Right? So you wear the big day kohuna, something that's akin to the big day kohuna. But Shulchan Aruch says, you know, but wait a second. It's really unrealistic that a person is going to have like a three-piece suit with a top hat, you know, for mincha on a Tuesday. Like, it's not really shaykh that a person is going to be able to do that. Elo shein kol adam yachol levazvis al zeh. People can't afford to do that, nor do people have the time to do that, you know, to every time they daven. So says Shulchan Aruch, mikol makom tov hu sheyu lo michnasayim yuchadim l'tfila. At least have your special tefillah pants. So most people, you know, probably don't have special tefillah pants, but what would that suggest? Shulchan Aruch is telling you, wear something nice for tefillah, right? In the Gemara, it was about the white socks, or I don't know if it was white, but about the fancy socks. So for us, maybe fancy socks aren't so convenient. So what might be more convenient?
A jacket,
right? Something that you could throw on that at least shows that I'm paying a little more. You know, you want to put on a tie. I don't know if a tie is a beged bechlal, but whatever. You know, you put on something to show that you want to honor the tefillah. So the impression that you get is that it's a dress up occasion, lahalacha, despite the fact that you have this nuance in the Gemara. It seems to be like a dress up occasion. The third sheet in the Gemara, though, that said that you adjust based on Shas Tsar or Shas Shalom, mentioned something else. It also mentioned that at a time of Tsar, not only did he take off his frock and did he take off his nicer clothing, Pachar Yadei, he did something funny with his hands. So what does that mean? How do you hold your hands when you daven? Like, is there, I'm sure you've seen people daven in different ways, right? You've seen people daven like this, you see people daven like this, you see people daven like this, you see people with their hands on the shtender, and their hands, you know, right? Some people just don't know what to do with their hands, right? Like, whenever I'm called up, like, under a chuppah for, like, an eight kiddushin, it's always the biggest, like anxiety. It's like, what do I do with my hands? You know, like this? Like that? I don't know. Pockets? That seems a little too casual. I always look at the other eight and see what he's doing. things you don't think about, probably. but like, what do you do with your hands when you daven? Meaning, it's much easier if you're holding a sitter. Okay, it's easy. So then you hold the sitter. But by the way, generally speaking, you're not supposed to hold things while you daven, right? Because why aren't you supposed to hold things while you daven? It's scared you're going to drop it, or it's distracting. And it's, yeah.
Are you supposed to daven from
So the poskim, right? You could hold the sitter. Why could you hold the sitter? Because the sitter helps in the tefillah, the whole thing. But what are you not supposed to hold when you daven? Anything fragile, anything that if you drop would break, you're not supposed to hold when you daven. Anything, a baby, right? You're not supposed to, because babies also could break when you drop them, right? You don't want to drop the baby. So you're not supposed to hold that when you daven. That's the shayla. I have a piece in my first sefer about davening from a phone. Right, let's say you don't have a sitter, so everyone's got an app, right, where you can pull up davening. So is that a problem of holding something while you daven? On the one hand, it's a sitter. On the other hand, the sitter is not fragile. A phone is pretty fragile. Maybe it depends whether you have a case, or so it's an interesting discussion whether davening from a phone is inherently problematic because it's you're not supposed to hold things. Okay, but let's say you're not holding anything. Let's say you're davening by heart, or the sitter is out there on the shtender in front of you, or on a table in front of you. So what do you do with your hands? So pachar yadei in a shas tzar. What does that mean? That pachar yadei. So the Rama writes that exactly that in a time of tsar you should somehow hug your hands together when it's a time of tsar and you're davening. The Rambam, however, does not say this for a time of tsar. The Rambam writes tikun aguf ketzad. He says, okay, you're getting ready to daven. What do you do? Omid b'tfila tsaruch l'chavin es raglav zu b'tzad zu. Right, the first thing we know, raglav zu b'tzad zu. Why do we do that? Like a malach, right? We daven with our raglay. The Navi describes that malachim are ragleim regel yeshara, right? That their legs are like one leg. That it's so. So we do that. The Rambam is describing for every tefillah, not just tzar, not just so, anytime. V'nosin einov lemata, your eyes go down, ki'ilu hu mabit la'aretz, as if you're looking at the ground. V'yalibo panui lemaila, but in your heart, meaning your kavana, should be, first of all, clear mind, so that you're able to focus, and focused heavenward, ki'ilu omid b'shamayim, as if you're standing in shamayim, like you're teleported up to shamayim at the time of your tefillah. Uminiach yodav alibo kfusin hayamanis ala smolas, and you put your hands over your heart, your right hand over your left hand. Va'omid ke'eved l'fnei rabo, and stand there like an eved in front of his master. Be'ema b'yiro pachat. V'lo yiniach yodav al chalatza. Okay, so you don't stand like that. You don't say hand over the heart. So everyone has trouble with this Rambam, because the Rambam is describing how to position your hands in tefillah. The only Gemara that describes how to position your hands in tefillah talks about it in Shas Tzar, how to position your hands in tefillah. And the Rambam is describing by every tefillah how to position your hands. So there are two mahalchim in this Rambam. One mahalich in the Rambam was that the Rambam must have understood the Gemara differently. When the Gemara said that third hanhaga, that I saw Rav Kahana, ki ikat tzara ba'alma, when there was tzar, shadi glimei, upachar yadei umatzlei, it's like this, shadi glimei, period. That what did he do that was unique of Shas Tzar? He took off his frock, he took off his top hat or whatever. And by the way, parchar yadei umatzlei, that was always. That was not only when it was Shas Tzar, that was always. So it's like there's a period in between, and then parchar yadei umatzlei is for always. Problem with that is, like, the sentence continues, Omer ka'avda kamimare. Right after that it says, because he said, I'm like an eved in such times. Oh, but Shas Shalom, you know, it wasn't like that. So it doesn't sound that way from the Gemara at all. But that is how the Kesef Mishnah and the Beis Yosef is the Kesef Mishnah, understands the Rambam, right? The other approach to the Rambam is the approach of the Bach and the Taz. The Bach and the Taz were related to each other. You know how the Bach and the Taz were related to each other? Because Mishnah and the Beis Yosef were related to each other in that they were the same person. So that's Adam Karav Eitz Alatzma, right? So that certainly is a relationship.
I'm so sorry to disturb, but I was told to come here to get a Rebbe for Chinuch for always. They can't, but I guess that's the most clear author.
Okay, no problem. Anyone want to be a Rebbe? Take him? No? Okay. They're hiring. So the how are the Taz and the Bach related? No, close. What? Father-in-law, son-in-law. Bach was the Taz's father-in-law. So it's funny because like the Taz is always arguing on the Bach. Like it's Ki'ilu, he wrote a whole book just arguing on the father-in-law, and in a holy kind of way. But over here they actually agree with each other. The Taz and the Bach agree with each other, and they both say that the Rambam is what the Rambam is describing doing with your hands is not what the Gemara said by Pechiras Yadav. When the Gemara said Pechiras Yadayim, it meant something else. It meant some sort of, I don't know, sticking your fingers together, whatever. What the Rambam is describing is just, you know, to be respectful. So he says the way to be respectful and humble is by putting your hands over your heart. It's got nothing to do with what the Gemara was talking about. That's how they understand the Rambam. It happens to be that a lot of the poskim say that you should be makpid davka, the Alter Rebbe and Shulchan Aruch Harav, the first Rav Rebbe, and the Aruch HaShulchan say you should davka hug your hands together be'eish shalom, not to hug your hands together be'eish shalom, not to really link your fingers together be'eish shalom, because then it's going to be moridim. Meaning whatever pechiras yadayim is, you davka don't want to do that when it's a time of shalom, because that's the way you would carry yourself if it was a time of din, if it was a time of tzar. So just do what the Rambam says, because that's not Pechiras Yadayim. Whatever Pechiras Yadayim is, you don't want to do that by accident. In Kabbalah there's such a thing, that in Kabbalah they're very makbid, all the Mekubalim, based on the Zohar, not to interlock your fingers. I remember when I was a little kid in Camp Na'arim, we had learning groups with a Rebbe from Lakewood, and I remember he made a big deal about this, that we should never interlock our fingers during davening. So for like decades, I was like terrified of like accidentally, like when he wanted to show us like what not to do, he didn't even do it. Like he was like, you know, if you would, you know, like he started trembling as it came close, like, you know, that you shouldn't do that during davening, because that would be like, so in Yisod B'Shor Shavod, he writes, Hizor ma'od ma'od shalo t'shalev etzbo shtei yadayim zebazeh. Be super careful that your fingers should not interlock with each other. Ki Because if you do that, and even mindlessly, then that's a simin that in Shemayim there's some really bad thing, that really bad din that was just decreed against you up in Shemayim. Salpi Kabbalah, and it's based on the Zohar, you don't interlock the fingers. Ram doesn't describe interlocking the fingers, he describes right hand over left hand on the heart. Again, a lot of people don't do that, but they just stand in a way that is humble. So again, so far all we've seen, just to summarize what we did today, all we've seen is that a person should daven with a sense of humility and should be dressed up rather than dressed down. Even though the Gemara said that there are three different levels, but we seem to paskin that we generally dress up for tefillah, and the Shulchan Aruch added that sensitivity that it's unreasonable to assume that you're actually going to dress like you go to a wedding, so you should do something, just something that makes you look nicer.
Nowadays, we should be interlocking their fingers or anything?
I don't think people interlock their fingers nowadays.
Do you think does it like matter whether or not we do it or not, because we're
yeah, so probably better not to. I mean, I'll pick up all of this, say not to, so why would you want to tempt, fate?
Yeah. We're only a sitter. However you like.
Yeah, so again, you don't have to do that. I mean, if you hold a sitter, that's fine too.
When talking about dressing up, does it mean something that you're not, or something different than what you're wearing at that moment, or is it
So that God willing we'll talk about tomorrow, meaning what about a hat, what about a jacket, what about a gartel, like where do all these things come from, what should a person do, is it just enough to like tuck yourself in, tighten your belt, I don't know, is there something like what should a person actually do when it comes time to daven. Okay, so that will be tomorrow. We're out of time. I think you have to go, counselor or division lead or whatever it is that, okay, have a great day everyone.